Happy Christmas, everybody, and welcome to church this morning. Come on in, that's great. Pick a seat, if you can, with a chocolate on it. So, I think I'm going to be followed around this morning by my little grandson here, whose name is Barnaby. If he comes to talk to you, just chat back, don't worry about it, you know. It's lovely to see everybody Christmas morning, and we light these candles through Advent leading up to Christmas, and Christmas Day we get to light the red one as well, so we're going to do that first of all as a sign of God with us, provided the match works, of course, that always helps. You're talking about me or the match? Come on, this is... These are supplied by Nick, so blame Nick, these ones.
4 years old.
They've been doing Christmas for the last 100 years, I think, actually. There we are, three. A little cheer for the red one, I think, don't you, when it comes on? There we go. Right, a sign it really is Christmas Day today. So welcome, it's... Just brilliant to be together, take a few minutes in the busy day, in the celebration of the day, in the tradition of the day, just to remember where the day comes from, really. It comes from our Lord Jesus Christ and his birth. So let's just start with a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we've gathered together in your name, and we've come to remember that you sent your Son to this earth for our sake. And this morning, help us celebrate throughout the day with a joyful heart, the gift that you have given us. Amen. So we're going to start with Come and Join the Celebration.
A little bit later on, I'm here. But, you know, Christmas time, what's Christmas time all about? Gifts, isn't it?
So I just wonder, has anyone, I know we've got a largely adult people here, but anyone happen to bring a gift with them to church this morning? I say this because my son is in America, right, and he goes to church in America, and he says, he can't, cultural differences, they don't have church on Christmas Day. But guess when Christmas Day is this year? It's on a Sunday, so they're sort of stuck, and they've got to have church on Christmas Day this year. And my son was going, I don't know if they know how to do church on Christmas Day over there. Surely, you know, are they going to ask if anyone's brought a gift to church? Has anyone brought a gift to church? I know, actually, I've planted one. anyone brought a gift to church? What did you get, Barnaby? He wants to show everybody Jesus, I think, because he's just got himself... he's got a baby. Where's your tractor gone? Oh, yes. Here we go. Come up here, Barnaby. Come over here. Yes. Come for a sweet. It's a bit like dog training, you know. Look, Barnaby loves... How old are you, Barnaby? He's two. Okay. So this is—he's not a ventriloquist dummy. Yeah. He's two, and he sort of becomes fascinated with baby Jesus. He's just going to fall off here. What is this, Barnaby? It's a tractor there, and you've got a tractor for Christmas. He loves Tractor Ted, and if anyone has seen Tractor Ted, try it out. Tractor Ted's on Netflix and other things. YouTube—it's on YouTube as well. Tractor Ted, he absolutely loves it. He's got his books full of tractors this morning. He's got four different books, all have got tractors in. And he's got a tractor to play with as well. Well done. Happy Christmas, Barnaby. There we go. Do you want your sweet now? Okay, there we go. Have your sweet, have a tractor and have Jesus. Right. So, Christmas gifts. How lovely to have Christmas gifts. And I've lost my script. Anyone see where I put it? There we are. And we're going to watch now. Are you ready, Nick? Have you got it ready? Nick is sort of struggling because his screen isn't telling him. There it is. We're going to watch the Lego version of Christmas. Okay.
A long time ago, before Christmas began,
God's people were worshiping the God that was thunder. And they wondered if they knew how this plan would unfold. Till an angel appeared, to a young teenage girl. Though Mary was troubled, the angel proclaimed, "You found favor with God. Do not be afraid. You will be the birth of a son. Call his name Jesus. The King has now come." "I am the Lord's servant," he said in belief. But when Joseph found out, he was filled up with grief. For Mary and Joseph had not yet got married. What would people think of this baby she carried? An angel of God came to him in a dream and helped Joseph see it was not as it seemed. It was Jesus.
We're going to sing now about that small child who was born and laid in straw. We're going to see him lying in a bed of straw. See him lying on a bed of straw, a draughty stable with an open door. Mary cradling the babe she bore, the Prince of Glory is his name. Anna carried me to Bethlehem to see the Lord appear to men. Just as poor as was the stable then, the Prince of Glory was in chain. Star of silver sweep across the sky, see where Jesus in a manger lies. Shepherd swiftly from your super eyes, see the Saviour of the world. Anna, carry me to Bethlehem to see the Lord appear to men. Just as poor as was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came. Angels, sing again the song you sang, sing to glory to the heart of man. Sing at Bethlehem today we can, such the station. So we've been thinking about children, really, haven't we, in that video and in the song we've just sung. And it's very appropriate, I think, to, when we come to prayers for the world, to pray at Christmas time for children in the world. Our children are the most vulnerable. They are. And it's been really brought home to me yet again. This is my 8th grandchild and after my 4th children. And when little Zachary here was born, how many weeks ago? 4 weeks ago. How terribly vulnerable a child is. And how much they are at the mercy of all around and simply need love and care. And that continues for a long time, doesn't it? But there are children around in the world, we talk millions of children around in the world, who are in extremely vulnerable places. So we're going to come to God and bear in mind and ask God to care for, through the people who surround them, the smallest of children. And as I read out these very short, simple sentence prayers, I'll do it slowly so that in your mind you can think of someone you know, or a child you know, or a situation you know of or have heard of. Or simply take yourself there in your imagination and come to God and say, "Be there, please, with these children." So let's pray together. We give thanks for the gift of children, the joy and love they bring into the world and our lives. For those children who have been seriously impacted by war, famine, natural disasters, whose learning or emotional development has been delayed, we pray. Where children and parents are feeling the pain of separation, where that may have been caused by family disruption or migration, or parents having to live and work away from home, or perhaps where parents maybe even be in prison, Lord, we pray. For children who are seriously ill and in need of love and comfort, we pray. And we pray that children will be loved, safe, not be hungry or frightened, and know the value of family, and know that they are loved by God. Amen. We're going to sing again now. We're going to sing Away in a Manger. Where I'm just reminding people of Christmas greetings that we've received from our mission partners around the world. But lo and behold, you appear as a mission partner. It's just wonderful on Christmas Day. So have you got any up-to-date news for us so that we know may know about you and what God is doing through you, your family, really?
Well, we've been back since July and we've settled in Cheltenham.
No choice there, mate.
We can see that he's much happier with you than us.
Oh, good, good.
So, and Seb is grade 9, or year 9. And, he's in a different school at best. And he's cycling every day when the weather permits. So, the kids are kind of settled. We are settling in slowly. I mean, in different places, but we are at the start of it, so we're kind of developing the space, and that should take us.
Can you greet everybody in Arabic for saying Happy Christmas in Arabic or something like that? Can you do that? I understood every word of that. Thank you very much. I feel
better.
Well, we keep in touch and we put it in our newsletter and you include it in our prayer diaries and so on there. So, at our heart is we pray deeply for your work. Your work, Debbie, working with refugees, but working really people through the asylum system and the resettlement system and all that. And nobody will understand what it is to move from one country to another and go through cultural shock more closely than you do. I remember when I spent some time in Papua New Guinea, I came back and I went to Bristol. Have you ever been to Bristol with Marks and Spencer's in Cribb's Way? Cribb's Corn? Cribb's something? Causeway. And I walked into Cribb's Causeway and I just could not stay there. I walked into Marks and Spencer's just surrounded by the natural wealth of this country, and I just could not adjust that. It was too soon to go into that. And there's a real cultural shock. You guys have lived a decade, haven't you, in Beirut? It must be huge for you, moving from one place to another, adjusting. So our prayers are with you. Very tough, very, very tough. And massive numbers of refugees, aren't they? How many million? How many million now in refugees? About 3 million, is it, in Lebanon?
Some have travelled.
Yeah, so it's
what you're calling on. Right, okay. But we've also received, thank you, greetings from... That's the wrong bit of paper. We've received greetings, and I've included in the newsletter, if you get the newsletter, and I've got copies of the newsletter if you'd like to take one away with me, but we've received them from Christians Against Poverty. And, you know, over the course of the last year, people have come out of poverty, and over £100,000 of the poverty has been people have been free from. We've had people come to Christian faith through the work of CAP as well. And they've got a target now of reaching, relieving people's popoverty of up to £1 million amongst all the clients that they're working with now in the very near future. There's those real thanks for our support, prayer support, and financial support we give to CAP as well. And I have their letter. And then, of course, we've got the work of Catherine Thompson and Rehoboth and the Thompson family. And, of course, Philip was minister here for a number of years, wasn't he? As well. So Christmas greetings from them. Catherine's in the country, returning on my birthday, the 4th of February. I'm sure you remember my birthday coming up. She's returning back to the Philippines then. But greetings from them, and thanks once more as well. And there's also from Wings as well. We've had the newsletter and Christmas greetings from Wings and the support. And of course, we have people within our church who not only support Wings, but benefit from Wings as well. Yeah, and that's a great local Christian ministry there. Part of which, just one small part of which, is actually working with the Ukrainian refugees as they, in the locality they come to, they run a Friday hub for them. So I just want to share with you that as a church, we may be in a small village here and a relatively small gathering here, but we have connections this Christmas, spread through Christ throughout the whole world. Pardon? And Laura Lee. I've missed Laura Lee's off, haven't I? Yeah. I'm sorry, I haven't mentioned Laura Lee. Of course, she's in Peru right now, doing the really hard work of selling creation stewardship to the Christian church. And understanding how care for the world is care for God's people in the world as well. You know, statistics. Did you get that world conference? We all heard of COP, didn't we? And the climate change conferences that go on. But anyone clock onto there was an eco conference about the same thing, about nature, if you like, in the world. Did anyone clock onto that? It was about a week ago, a world conference on that. Set the target 30-30. Did you hear about that? So the target 30-30 is that 30% of farming land or land use to be set aside for nature by 2030. There was a stunning statistic. It knocked my feet off. Now, I might remember this a little bit wrong, so I'm going to say it both ways. Okay. The weight of all the mammals in the world. Think about that. That's from a mouse, sort of bigger, through to elephants, including us. So we're included in mammals here. The percentage weight of all the mammals in the world that are human is either 94 or 96%. That means that the rest of the mammal population of the world, in weight terms, is only 4 or 6%. I think what's happened in the last 100 years that has changed that percentage around is now we're a world of over 6 billion people. And we now dominate the whole world surface for ourselves. But our well-being as human beings is dependent upon all the living life within the world. It's a stunning statistic, isn't it? Do we really want to live in a world where there are no other living beings? It's a stunning thing. Right, back to the point of the Christmas thing. But I mean, that's why we've got Laura Lee being a creation steward for the Baptist Missionary Society, to care for the world around us. Where did I put that little bit of script down? I'm sorry about covering all my stuff up. Here it is. So as we come to think about Jesus and we come to think about Christmas, and we had those three readings at the beginning, we had them thinking about Jesus in three different ways. God wanted to announce through his messengers at the birth of Jesus three different things about Jesus. And so Jesus was given titles at that time. There were three in particular that he gave through his angels. Three core things about Jesus that he's setting out at the very beginning. Firstly, he'd come as a rescuer. It could be called a saviour. So because the natural state of humankind is being alienated from God. That's what we're like normally. It's our natural way of thinking, of being alienated from God, of people who do not live in a relationship with God. That's what I mean by alienated. Not in a relationship with him. And the sad consequence of not being in a relationship with God is living under God's judgment. But Jesus came to rescue people from that situation and to bring them back into relationship with God. There was only one way to do that, and that was to bear the consequences himself of God's judgment on behalf of people. So Jesus came with a predetermined mission to die. As he was born, so it was announced, this is why he's going to die. To bear God's judgment and to bear God's wrath. And in that way, expresses love to each one of us. And secondly, he was announced to become as a king or a messiah, the anointed one. All words cover the same thing. Because being saved by Jesus isn't a one and only thing, one and only deed, like pulling somebody out of the water when they're drowning. It's not like that. It's about changed lives. It's about living in a different way, for a different purpose, in a different relationship with God. That was announced as Jesus was born. And thirdly, God never intended us to struggle at this on our own, by our own willpower. And that's our natural way of doing things, is to, I'm going to try harder, and that will solve the problem. But it's failed before and it will fail again, and it will always fail if we simply rely on our own willpower. Despite whatever book that's about, you know, life enhancement that you might read, it won't work. Because we're not capable of living in relationship with God by our own willpower. So he came to be Emmanuel. He came to be God with us. And on his ascension, that's when he went from this earth to wherever heaven should be and whatever form heaven should take, he went to be with God the Father. He sent his Spirit, known as the Holy Spirit, or elsewhere in the Bible known as the Spirit of Christ, to be with us. To be Emmanuel, God with us, right now. Now, I was in a conversation with a group of Christians just very recently, and they were trying to say, would you like to describe what church is? There was one description. Describe church as like a group of people. So you might draw little dots for people, if you like, or little stick men for people, and then put a ring round them and go, this is the group of people. Let me just draw a big ring all round us, just in case we all might be included here. I've drawn a big boundary, a nice fence round them. All of us in this fence, let's pretend for a moment, are people who trust in Christ. We follow Christ. So everybody in the fence is the church. Which sort of means that everybody outside the fence isn't anymore. But then there was somebody else came and said, I'd like to think of church like that. I'd like to think of church in a different way. I'd like to think of church, let's pretend this is like the boundary that they talked about. We're going to pop Jesus just here, where I'm standing here. So this is Jesus in the middle here. So Jesus-centered, if you like. And then there are going to be people dotted about. And some people are going to be, like, really close. And some people are going to be, you know, quite happily hanging out around here somewhere. You know. And some people are sort of like going to be through the door and just excuse me a minute. I'm in the kitchen, but I'm thinking about it a bit. And so they like to think of church as Christ in the centre and people in relationship with Christ in some little way or big way. And some people are really close and maybe hang around there. Some people have a time in their life when they're like really close, but now, you know what's happened? We're still sort of waving distance, you know. Be in touch. We're in relationship, but a bit like relationship with a rather nice auntie that we send Christmas cards to once a year. And other people haven't quite got to actually saying hello yet, but they're hanging around there and maybe they're drifting in. And so this Christmas, thinking about that Jesus in the centre definition, take a moment to think where you are and which way you're moving. And my prayer is that even if you're in the kitchen or possibly on the high street outside or right in here in the middle, my prayer is that this year we'll move a bit closer. We'll establish a closer relationship with Jesus. Now, I've been in relationship with Jesus since I was 18. You can do the maths. I'm 72. I don't know how many years that is there. And I'd find it hard to put my dot really close, because there are plenty of times in my life when I'm not behaving exactly as if I'm in relationship with Jesus. But I pray for myself that my relationship would grow more intimately and I will be more obedient and in more loving relationship with him this year. And I pray for everybody in this room that that will be how we go this year. So take a moment and quietly before God place yourself and ask that you'll draw closer. And if you've never come across this little booklet, it's not the cure-all for everything, but it is a helpful thing. If you've struggled with prayer any time, you've never read about that, you know, we have these on the door just outside. Feel free to take this. It's a really short little booklet that can help people pray when they may not have prayed before or they haven't prayed for a while. And it's one tiny page a day. So, and sometimes it's quite big writing too. Yeah. So that helps. Let's just say a prayer together. Lord Jesus, you came for us. In your heart you love us, and you call us to draw closer to you and be more in relationship with you. May this Christmas let us treasure you. Set time aside to consider how our relationship with you may grow. Amen. We're going to finish with our final carol, Joy to the World. Blessing. Loving God, may the worship we have shared this Christmas lead to acts of service to transform.